believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
Here at the American Freedom Network. It's Friday morning, and our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he's going to bring us up to date on what's really going on in the world, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Joel, pick up the story from there.
Well, first of all, I'm going to cover something we talked about yesterday on these smuggled bearer bonds that were captured in Italy. Blogger Joseph Cannon really did some yeoman's research on this and found out, I think, the definitive story.
Now, could you just for the listeners, in case they don't know about the bearer bonds, could you give the background of the story?
Yes. There were, at the Italian-Swiss border, there were $134 billion in Federal Reserve bonds that were captured by the police from two Japanese nationals trying to take these bonds from Italy to Switzerland.
And they basically had them hidden in a suitcase, like, you know, they were traveling, they were in a suitcase. They were under the sort of the floor of the suitcase, a false floor. And here there's $134 billion in bonds. You know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, 250 certificates worth $500 million and 10 $1 billion certificates called Kennedy bonds. Well, come to find out that there are no such things as Federal Reserve bonds. They don't issue them. And there are no such thing as Kennedy bonds. There were, however, a series of forgeries clear back to 1934 coming out of the Philippines of Federal Reserve bearer bonds, which were forgeries, which were fakes, and this was coming out of the time, you know, when the Philippines were a United States territory, and they were trying to pass these forgeries off as something that had come out of the war years, war booty and other things. And these seemed to be exact duplicates of it, only brand new. The others, you know, were faded with time, and there was a video about them. But these apparently are made on the same printing press as the same ones from the Philippines. And so they're absolutely fake. The Federal Reserve doesn't claim them. They're no good. They can't be cashed because the Federal Reserve won't honor them. And these two Japanese nationals end up being from the Philippines. So it looks like more of the Philippine treasure hunting scandal and what they intended to do with it. I'm not sure at this point, but we can put this case to rest as regular bumbling bogus smugglers.
And not even very smart ones.
And not even very smart. And if you look at the pictures in the Italian newspaper, which I've got on the Internet, they don't look very smart either.
All right, fine.
So going to more realistic financial news, the big story, of course, this week, besides the Iranian election, which we'll cover. But it seems like we've got a flood of bad solutions coming out of the Obama administration, a health care reform initiative that is kind of a foot-in-the-door approach for a public health insurance that will go side-by-side with private medical insurance, providing an alternative cheaper. Well, it's just like bad money drives out good. The cheaper public one will, of course, absorb all the business or a lot of the business from the private insurance, and that will eventually lead to more regulation. It will lead to higher costs. And eventually that's what happens to all government programs. The cost goes astronomical. And the second big story, of course, is the financial regulatory reform package. And it really isn't that. I mean, it permits the Federal Reserve, of all things, who is the source of our financial problems, to perpetuate, manage, and regulate the fraudulent financial instruments, derivative swaps, and securitization of debt that brought us into this current crisis. And this package also delivers special authority, meaning cover for the largest financial institutions who will continue to promulgate these mega Ponzi schemes. And there are Ponzi schemes. I mean, they issued and have been issuing credit default swaps, a form of derivatives that guarantees things, companies, nations, bonds, everything from GM to Chrysler against default. And these people don't have any reserves to pay on those contracts. And people have paid the insurance. Same thing with securitized debt packages. They're securitized by derivatives and credit default insurance packages. But it's a Ponzi scheme because they took money for something that they weren't required to have reserves, and that was because they lobbied Congress to make sure they wouldn't be required, and then went ahead and built a $500 trillion industry based upon this stuff.
Well, but what's even more terrible about this whole thing is they control the media, and they say, well, these banks that wrote these insurance policies that didn't have any funds behind them, they're too big to fall. So we couldn't let them fall, so the taxpayers are going to have to pick up the responsibility for $500 trillion or $700 trillion. We don't know how much is out there in these derivatives. I mean, this is the taxpayers don't have the money to. There's not that much money in the whole world. This is designed to destroy the financial structure of our nation, and the people who did it are not held responsible. Oh, we're just too big to fail.
Yeah, it's and they literally should fail, even though, you know, a lot of legitimate people put their money into AIG, pension funds, the major cities and counties across the nation. But it's interesting, in all of the bailout billions that went to AIG, none of those people had their derivatives contracts paid off. The AIG, of course, without any oversight of the Fed, because they're in bed with them, paid off the foreign banks. It paid off, a lot of other banks, such as Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan insiders, who are probably, as far as we know, we know that major banks are owners of the Federal Reserve, and I would presume they are the favored ones that got the bailout money.
We're seeing the greatest transfer of the wealth of the American people that has ever taken place to a very small little group of wicked people who are, and they, just by chance, they all happen to be tied into the Trilateral Commission, but it's just by chance.
Well, this is the greatest fraud and outright criminal syndicate. I mean, this is a syndicate. It's a conspiracy, if you will, Dr. Stan. They have conspired to do this, and they've gotten away with it.
And they're going to destroy the American economy, and why isn't Rush Limbaugh telling us? We'll be back in just a moment.
Good news. The March of Faith Ministries presents Pastor Samuel Santos. Come and hear Pastor Santos, the man who died twice. In a 22-year span, he has been in 3 airplane accidents. 19 years ago, he fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. Doctors told his wife because of his age, he would never be normal again. This testimony can make a great impact in your life. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. Pastor Santos will be speaking at the Berthoud Community Center, 248 Welch Avenue at 7:30 p.m. June 5th and 6th. The Johnstown Town Hall at 101 Charlotte Avenue, 7:30 p.m. June 12th and 13th. At the Milliken Town Hall, 1101 Broad Street, 7:30 p.m. June 19th and 20th. And in the Town of Meade, 441 3rd Street, June 26th and 27th. For more information, call 303-883-5674.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
A prom or graduation should never be ruined by a drunk driver. Someone who has overdone it should never attempt to drive after a party. Don't let it be your child. Make this a time that's safe for everyone. That message courtesy of Elizabeth Locker Plant Incorporated at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth. Specializing in naturalized aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. For the highest quality, call Elizabeth Locker Plant at 688-2240. That's 688-2240. They've been serving our area since 1943 and the Hunsley family are on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan Mack here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest, Joel Skousen. We're talking about the derivative fraud. It is fraud. And what do we say? Oh, well, we couldn't possibly bring charges against these major banks, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, all these banks that issued all these fraudulent, and they were fraudulent, derivative contracts. Oh, my, they're just too big to fail. I mean, this would disrupt the economy. And so what are we going to do? We're going to destroy the economy by having to cover trillions. And we're talking about tens, if not hundreds of trillions of dollars of derivative contracts. And basically that will be utilized to undermine and destroy the financial fabric, not only of our nation, but the whole world. Pick the story up.
Of course, it's going to take place slowly, Dr. Stan. They may be able to pull it off for a while, depending on how fast it unravels. For example, if there's supposed $500 trillion in derivatives, they're probably, because these things are leveraged, meaning that they cover three and four times the face value of the loan. These are gambling plays, actually. And people are buying these things and paying millions of dollars for these contracts because they hope they default. They want to have a play to make three and four times on their money. So they're probably, let's say they're covering $100 trillion in debt. And probably at most a third to, and it depends on how bad the economy goes, but a third to a half at a worst case scenario would default. So there's $50 trillion that would have to be covered. So that's that puts it a little more in perspective of what would really be, you know, and that's a huge amount. The Federal Reserve has covered about, what, $3 trillion going on four in the present thing, and the dollar's taking a beating. If it ever had to come up with $50 trillion, you're right, depending on how quickly that happened, it would be devastating to the dollar. But, you know, there are other mitigating factors. For example, that the people who hold dollar debt, mostly foreigners, don't have any else where to go. The euro certainly cannot replace the dollar. Neither can the pound, and neither can the so-called IMF currency or basket of currencies put together by guarantees, paper guarantees of other fiat currencies. I mean, there simply isn't anything else. I mean, there's approximately $100 trillion only. I mean, that's a lot of money outstanding that the Federal Reserve has printed over the years and is circulating around in the world. $50 trillion would be an inflation rate of 50% of that money. But remember, there's probably only 10 trillion euros out there. And so the euro simply cannot replace the dollar. No currency can replace the dollar as international currency. It would take years to build up and inflate that many euros to be able to replace the dollars. And that's where the strength of the dollar is. It's the only currency that can absorb this kind of inflation. And that's why it's slipping slowly, but it's still not falling dramatically. So until actual inflation, hyperinflation or strong inflation comes back to roost in America, and I would consider that inflation between open, honest inflation between 15% and 20%, that's when we would have a real problem and the dollar will start to go down rapidly. Now, My frank opinion, Dr. Stan, is that they're going to be able to prolong this until or pretty close to when we have war, a major world war where the United States is attacked, when there's an electronic attack on the power grid through an EMP strike. Would if that give the powers to be the excuse to say, oops, all the computers are dead, we got to start all over, you know, all the debts are wiped off the book. And I'm convinced that's how they intend to resolve this. There's no way to pay it all back, Dr. Stan. They intend to use war to wipe this stuff off the book. So most of this stuff has two purposes. One, it prolongs. Two, it instills temporary confidence. That's part of the prolonging thing, because they have some new proposal on the table that people have to wait and see. You know, anytime government throws something on the table, it gives you another year on life to wait and see how it's going to pan out. And then if there are other things like a, you know, the medical system and throwing out a drug with side effects, and then we wait and see what happens, and then, well, it has side effects, so we give them another drug. You got to wait 2 or 3 weeks or months to see how that's going to pan out. I mean, they can keep this thing going for quite a while, but eventually war is going to catch up with this nation, and I think they're going to have a chance to write this stuff all off.
Well, they do. They write off the pensions. They write off the insurance policies. They write off literally everything.
But, you know, the real solution to this stuff, Dr. Stan, is to require substantial reserve. It's just like, you know, the way to stop speculative fever in the options market is to get rid of margin, buying on margin. And, of course, all of the big players, you know, want to avoid that. But, you know, if you have to put up, if you're going to make a bet, and you've got to put up 100% of the money, I mean, you're at risk. And there's no leverage built into it. So it really takes the speculation out of it. So if you require the derivatives people to put up 30 or 50% in hard reserves for what they guarantee in a derivatives, you're not going to be able to sell that many derivatives. You just don't have the capital, you know, to keep that kind of money in reserves. And so it would stabilize. The whole concept of a sound economy is slow, steady growth. And slow, steady growth comes by removing the speculative elements or making them less profitable by requiring that reserves be at a certain level. And you can't require 100% reserves. Otherwise, bank accounts, banks and savings and loans would never be able to pay any interest. If they had to keep everything in the bank, it would just be like a storage vault. And you'd have to pay them for the cost of keeping your money in storage. So we do have to accept a certain amount of partial reserves so that they can loan things out and make money and pay you interest for what. But it has to be, you know, and it's anybody's guess. That's what regulation is for, and is to make sure that based on historical percentages, there's enough in there to cover most of what can happen. And obviously a major war like we're looking at, not even 50% reserves, are going to save the day. Of course, most actual insurance contracts have exclusionary clauses against acts of war and acts of God. So they're covered in case war destroys everything. But the bottom line is, Dr. Stan, there isn't any guarantees that even Federal Reserve or FDIC guarantees that money is going to save us someday when war comes along. If we haven't reduced our need for money by stockpiling food and equipment and things that we will use for a period of time while the world is recoiling from a preemptive nuclear strike on America, which, in my opinion, we're headed for earliest middle of the next decade, pretty sure by the end of the decade, Russia and China attacking the United States. I think, you know, people have time to prepare, and it's not sufficient to just simply listen to the established media and say that could never happen. Russia and China are, you know, allies. Well, you know, they've been faking this for years, and the United States has been faking that they're really in compliance with treaties. And I mean, this is just a fraud. Everything out there in the news is a partial illusion filled with carefully crafted omissions, which give people a false sense of illusions of peace and prosperity, that which you have touted for many years, that What is presented as real is really an illusion, and we need to wake up, I think, to the reality that, you know, with Obama, and we ought to have learned our lesson, even with a Republican office like Bush, we went down as fast as with Obama in terms of our the diminution of our liberties, and I think that it's going to continue. I don't see that we're going to be able to stop this. But nevertheless, we're going to keep trying, as you say. You know, we only have to do what we need to do. And the rest is in God's hands, and I fear, you know, he's going to let the judgments of God come upon this nation, especially when we have this huge criminal syndicate running our government and masquerading as righteous. We've got a spokesman now, as long as he's in front of his teleprompter. I mean, his written messages by his team of speechwriters is brilliant. I mean, literally reeking with sincerity and with heartfelt commitments to do what is right and to wrong the things, and it's just an outright lying. It's the big lie. And even the left, Dr. Stan, is getting on to him. The Washington Post fired their most popular journalist who was covering Obama.